10 best business models to start. That's my next YouTube video.
This is probably the most requested questions we've ever had. How did you get with Iman?
I find those questions lame. It's like any other job and people glorify their idols too much. But after you talk with them,
like, I don't know how you can apply for a job and not get it.
You want a job? Just fucking work. It's my boy's birthday. Wish him. How old are you? 21?
21.
You can drink. Legally.
I can?
Yeah. First drink. Welcome back to Fuck Ups episode 7. This is our second take because the first take was horrendous. I don't want to put it out there. And you know how you guys probably think that we're releasing these episodes weekly? So we're also recording weekly. Our timings have been so messed up.
Let's get into it. So I sleep at around 11 or 12. I wake up around 8. When do you sleep?
I don't know.
8 p.m.
No. Basically, normally I've been sleeping around 10.
Exactly.
9, 10 a.m. Yeah.
And then you wake up at 5:30.
That too, I have to force myself to get out of bed.
Yeah, because we have MMA.
MMA at 6 p.m. Like it starts. And there's punishment for being late.
So we have completely different routines and we have to fit this in between, basically.
Yeah, it's been impossible to record lately.
2 fucking weeks we stopped.
Yeah, it's not even procrastination. It's like mutual understanding. Like, it's 12 a.m. now. And like, my bro is just crashing. He's like, bro, come, let's record. I'm like, aise nahi hone wala. So ja thoda.
Bro, even today, I had to have like 2.
Yeah.
1 Red Bull and 1 thumbs up chart.
Shit, bro. Yeah, like even right now, both of us are dead sleepy. Because, you know, this week has been 5 hours of sleep, 6 hours of sleep, 5 hours of sleep, 6 hours of sleep. And then Saturday, I sleep for 12 hours to compensate.
Saturday
is like going a better up. Day. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's my boy's birthday.
Let's decide this one.
Yeah. My bicep hurts. Yeah. It's my boy's birthday. Wish him. How old are you? 21?
21.
Damn.
Shit, bro. I'm old. Fucking
You can
hell.
Drink. Legally.
I can?
Yeah.
Bro, let's start.
No.
No?
We're not drinking.
No?
No.
But I can drink now.
I guess. By the time this episode is live, it's probably his birthday already.
And I'm probably having my first drink.
First drink.
Yep. Why are you emphasizing on that?
SA?
I mean, I've obviously not have like drinks pehle.
Yeah. I agree.
So,
back to what you guys have come here for. Last episode, episode 6, we went over all the details of how we made our first money online, the different business models we tried, and it was, you know, more of a beginner's guide.
Yep.
Now we're going to go into how we got from $1,000 one-time payments to landing a remote job,
yep,
to starting an agency. For clarification, Aman doesn't have an agency. He's just working in, he'll find out later.
Yep.
And we'll talk about how we landed the jobs with Iman. And then we'll talk about segueing into the freelance and agency part. And yeah.
This is probably the most requested questions we've ever had.
Yeah.
Like how did you get with Iman?
I find those questions lame. Like, it's like any other job and people glorify, you know, their idols too much, which I understand.
Exactly.
But like, after you talk with them, it's like,
they're normal people.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. Yeah, I think I said this in my video. They take their pants off the shit. So like,
yes, they might.
No, they literally do. Or if they don't, that's fucking crazy.
They do.
I hope.
They do.
But yeah, so like, they're normal people and they make mistakes. Which,
like, we've seen.
Yeah.
So many fucking mistakes.
We see them operating on a day-to-day basis. So we realize, oh, this is just another human. They're just taking the right steps to get to the right place. But when you're outside of that, when they're just a talking head to you on a YouTube video, you're idolizing them too much, basically. Yeah. Which
that's
is
why, that's another reason I like this podcast, because the audience can get to know us, like, you know how we are naturally. Because we're even making talking head videos, right? Rarely, like, you know, once in a month, maybe I'll upload that. It's like 10 best business models to start. That's my next YouTube video, right? And when they see me there, it's like, you know, this dude probably knows what he's talking about and shit. But then here it's like, bhai hai.
Joke ho raha hai.
Haan, joke ho raha hai.
Masti mazak mein. Aur camera bhi lagaya hua hai.
But let's get into it. So, Rex, tell me how you segued from theme pages into that one day where you got that story and what happened from there.
So basically, I sold all my theme pages, like I mentioned, and it was to a guy. And there was a lot of stickiness into like selling that page because no one wants to spend a lot of money and those pages cost a lot of money, basically. So no one wants to spend a lot of money unless it's someone that knows that they can get an ROI out of it. So it's super hard to actually find someone. We were like basically blessed to have people in our network that are rich and they understand how business works, so they can make money out of like theme pages. But normal people don't get that, so no one would spend like $3,000, $3,500 on 100,000 followers. There was this one very funny thing that happened. I was talking, like, while I was selling my pages, I also put up a story on one of my smaller pages, like 1% or Dominators, that I'm selling these pages for 3 to 4K. So a guy messaged me and we were talking about like payments and all. He was like, how much will you sell it for? I was like 3.5K or 3K or something like that. And he started negotiating and he was like 2.5. I said, no, I'll not go down this. It was like, okay, send me your Paytm. He thought it was 3K INR.
That's fucking crazy. And he was negotiating that down.
He was negotiating 3K INR down to 2.5K INR. And I probably have the screenshot, bro. I saw this the other day and I was like literally laughing.
I guess this speaks a little bit about the gym freaks who only do gym full time. Admittedly, I was one of them.
But that's good, like it got you somewhere. Like even like people that are starting.
Yeah, but there are some people who never get out of that phase where gym is their number one thing and that's it for the rest of their life.
Body banegi.
I mean, unless you're C-bum, then that's great for you.
Discipline, eh? Discipline.
But, you know, you gotta be a full stack man.
Yeah, I mean,
try to level up on everything. Think of your finances, your family, relationships, not just your body, right?
It's dumb. Like in like Hindi, in funny language, we call them protein buddhi.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
protein buddhi.
Like they have protein and they're like discipline, body bana lo. And that's their entire life. Ki matlab subah uth rahe hai, gym ja rahe hai, protein powder kha rahe hai, aur bas.
I mean, I admire the dedication.
But
effort,
like, if it's just that, it's just stupid. Like, do something else.
Like, please. No, like this way, in the old MMA gym that we used to go to, there are people who literally just fight all day, right? Like, they train 3 times a day, they rest, they have food, and they keep doing that again and again, and they want to be a fighter.
That's fine. If you want to compete, that again takes you in the finances part, where you're competing to make money, that's your career. But if you're only like a guy who goes to college and boy, sab dekh mere boy. I think bodybuilding is basically a little gay.
Like, bro, I remember,
you try
like,
to look good
oh my
for
God.
Other men.
This gives me a flashback into, I was one of those bodybuilding guys, like gym, school and gym. Because I was fucking fat. I needed that phase.
Yeah.
But that point, Andrew Tate wasn't that famous. And then I saw one clip of his where he was like, going to the gym is gay. Something like that. And I got mad. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
It is kind
like,
of
it's, no, I was offended, you know? And now we're like, you know, a year and a half older. And I agree with that a little bit.
I mean, I think you have to have like more depth.
Yeah.
Even if it's like, if you want to look better, I mean, I'm not judging. Like, start out. Even I started gymming because I wanted to look better. But after a point, I think, if you're just gymming just for the sake of that, I think that's kind of stupid because...
Like, I can just watch us get clipped and fucking roasted.
I mean, that's fine. Yeah. I think like you've seen the people that go to gym and only gym. They don't hit any cardio. Like they gas out in 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they fuck.
Me. not the fuck part.
No.
Not the fuck part.
Oh, no.
I mean, I gas out when I'm fighting, bro. Not... Okay, we're back. Sorry. And... go for it, how you got that job that one day.
Yeah, so how the fuck did we end up on that tangent?
I don't know, it happens. You go to the gym, please, if you're fat, but don't make it your whole life. Go on.
Even if you're skinny. But back to the point, so I sold the pages. Bro, that tangent went on for so long. I sold the pages and then for like 15 days, I had nothing to do. So I sold the pages, I got the money, and I remember like, I took my dad to the bank and that was my first like some money. So everyone was celebrating like, fuck,
let's go.
Let's fucking go.
Fuck, bro, that's nice.
I don't have to work anymore. But
never had that moment.
Why? I think that's, but like, we can talk about that on a later podcast. Everyone knew that I made money and it was like a significant amount because I've never made that money before. And no one in my house as well. So basically that happened and after that I bought a laptop and I started like new things to do. Basically, so I tried recording myself, but I was very not comfortable.
Do you have those videos?
Yeah, I'm never going to share them on like maybe in like 5 years
okay,
when
cool.
all yeah. is said and done. But in right now I can't share those videos. You've seen them. I've shared with you and like 4 other friends those videos.
You know, like, they were fine. Like they were fine.
I still have a look at them sometimes, and it's traumatizing. So I started like trying to record myself and do different shit on my laptop. So I started learning video editing. And I was looking for new things to do. Basically, in the previous podcast, I talked about how I read the Superior Man ka, those like Purpose Layer wala chapter, where he talks about how a man, there are phases where a man doesn't know what he'll do for the next phase in his life. He's already completed a purpose or like done something, and now he's fulfilled with that and it's on to like the next mission. So I was in that in between range where I didn't know what to do. But like, I basically got lucky, I would say. And yeah, I thank God for this. I know that sounds gay, but so I don't use Instagram. Like, I've told the story many times, so you're aware, but I don't use Instagram 28 out of 30 days. And even back then, I never had a personal account. But the one day, like, I decided to go on Instagram, there was a story on, I decided to randomly go on Instagram. And like, I was checking stories out. So there was a story from Iman, and he was like, I want to grow my TikTok to like 1 million in 6 months, and I won't record any shorts. So that's all he said. And I was like, if I make the best application to this, there's no way in hell that I'm not getting like selected. So I put in an application. I took 2 days to make the application. I might just drop the link, you know, if I'm feeling generous, I might drop the link in so people can see just how stupid and how I couldn't even talk properly. And there was, so you'll see the balcony behind me and there will be birds chirping. And in the video, there's, I'm literally putting on the video that, sorry for the birds, haha, sorry for the air, haha. I did what I had to do. Or peeche you'll see ganda wall, probably mosquitoes flying, and a Conor McGregor wallpaper, random shit. So I made that. It took me 2 days. I edited it on my phone, my first ever edit. And I also wrote out a big ass fucking essay where I was explaining how do you grow your TikTok account. Because at that point, I knew literally everything about short form at that point, in terms of like every updates. So I knew everything that was going on with short form content and how you could grow a TikTok account, even Instagram, anything basically. So I applied, but I was not getting any response. For a while, I didn't get any response, but...
How many days?
I don't actually remember, but I believe it took me 2 weeks to actually get hired. But I was waiting for a response. But again, I was in that phase where I don't have anything to do. So I was still like trying to throw shit on the wall so something sticks.
Yeah.
So I was applying to all this shit as well. But one random day, I got like an email from Spencer. And this was when I was in the gym. I got an email from Spencer that, hey, you're qualified for the next round. So basically, I got so happy. This was when I felt stuff.
Who is Spencer?
Spencer, we talked about on the last podcast as well, but good question. He was like the guy who was responsible for putting together the content team. So I got a message from him. He was in Iman's team, basically. Yeah, I started running around in the gym. The gym was empty. It was 3 p.m. The ACs were turned off. But I didn't mind because introvert.
Bro, I wish we could feel that level of high again.
Bro,
it's not a high, but it's a really like it's a level of yes, I fucking did it. That I don't feel anymore. Like yesterday, we got confirmation for another, you know, pretty big retainer.
Can we say the number?
No, let's not say the numbers anymore. It feels cheap. It was a pretty big retainer. Month over month, I think initially it's going to be a 3-month contract. And second biggest in our agency, that retainer is. And it was like, I didn't feel a thing. I'm like, unless it breaks the number one retainer, right? I'm not going to feel it.
Even after that, I don't think...
I'll feel it. Like if we get like 15K a month package, I might feel that level of joy again. But then it's shorter lived than when we got those initial emails for you've been selected and qualified for the next round.
Exactly. I remember when you got the email, it was like right after your birthday, I believe.
Yeah, so there was like another level of, man, I just spent a lakh on my fucking birthday and let's fucking go. Yeah.
Okay, so it was, yeah, that was when we used to feel stuff. But back to the point, I got the email and I was genuinely happy. I felt happiness. So, I don't know. That was probably the last time.
Khush ho gaya bhai.
That was probably the last time.
No. We've had moments. Bro, today when the light went... That's happiness. Yeah, yeah. The electricity went today and we were just dancing because we had nothing to do and the PCs and internet was off. So that's also happiness. That's not gay. It's fun.
It was very fun.
But anyways, let's give them
a I wish we had a camera recording.
We need that 360. I mean, sorry. That no, we don't need that.
Bro,
okay.
It would record
back to what they're here for, right? Yeah.
So I got the email and then I basically got selected for the interview with Spencer. But things don't go smooth in my life. So what happened was I got my friend to test Zoom. I got him to test it. And oh, back then I didn't have a normal webcam and it cost money. So obviously I didn't have it. So what I had to do is I had to connect my phone to my laptop and use it as a webcam. Mm. Which was working fine when I tried it first. But when I tried it on the meeting, it was not working.
So test meeting mein chala?
Test nahi chala.
Oh.
Test meeting mein chala matlab. Lekin when the meeting happened with Spencer, wo nahi chala. And the internet went off. I had such a bad impression because I had to move from the balcony to the other room. And my house is like full of noises. So I had to tell everyone, ki chup ho jao, please. घर चलाना है तो एवरीवन वाज क्वाइट फॉर वंस इन देयर लाइफटाइम्स फॉर लाइक 5-10 मिनट्स एंड
क्रेजी
10 मिनट्स के लिए वाईफाई भी नहीं चला सो आई वाज सो बम्ड आउट आफ्टर दैट हैपेंड एंड आई वेंट इनटू अ बैड जोन वेयर आई रियलाइज्ड आई माइट नॉट गेट द जॉब बिकॉज ऑफ द इंटरनेट एंड लाइक इश्यूज सो आई एम फ्रॉम इंडिया आई हैड इनसेन
तो इंडिया से है
मे बी आई हैड इनसेनली लाइक अभी से भी कम लेस कॉन्फिडेंस बैक देन लाइक तब तो मतलब ज़मीन पे होगा वैसा पॉइंट पे सो आई एम ऑलरेडी फ्रॉम इंडिया माय इंटरनेट डजंट वर्क आई डिडंट टर्न माय कैमरा ऑन स्कैमर आई एम नॉट गेटिंग हायर्ड सो दैट्स व्हाट आई वाज थिंकिंग एंड आई गॉट लाइक इनसेनली लो जोन पे मतलब कि आई एम नॉट गेटिंग दिस एट ऑल सो द नेक्स्ट मॉर्निंग आई वोक अप एंड इट वॉज रेनिंग एंड इट वॉज मतलब पूरा गंदी धूप थी एंड आई नेवर गो आउट इन द सन बिकॉज आई हैव PTSD फ्रॉम माई फुटबॉल डेज सो आई रैन इन द सन फॉर 2 hours स्ट्रेट एंड गेटिंग वेट व्हेन आई वेंट होम आई वॉज लाइक बैक टू माई फुटबॉल डेज आई कैन पोस्ट फोटोज अप एंड आई वॉज लाइक बेसिकली रनिंग एंड ओके इमोशनल इन द रेन एंड आई एम नॉट यूजली इमोशनल बिकॉज आई रियलाइज दैट देर वॉज अ really big opportunity and fucking internet fucked it up which even I couldn't control like I tested it I did my best so it was not on me and I was like fuck my luck and everything like that I went to my sister's place basically it was a bad 2-3 days where he didn't reply and I was even asking him like does internet rule me out and he was like no it doesn't but I wasn't believing him obviously I'm not gonna get hired so that happened.
One quick question here. Why didn't you think of going to an internet cafe where they have a webcam and a PC set up for you?
They charge money.
And?
No money.
ROI?
I'm very against spending money back then. Now I spend like a degenerate sometimes. But back then, I did not.
But you would end up making it? Like,
do you remember when I asked you for a Surfshark password?
Yeah.
And then I looked you in the eyes and then I said, I will pay you back.
Bro, it's fine.
In an emotional...
You did, no?
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah,
I guess. That was when I had the job.
Yeah.
Imagine that. So, like, never had money to spend, so I never, like, spent money at all. We could go into another tangent, but I won't. So, basically, that happened. And I was fucked. I was at my sister's house because, fucking hell, I'm not getting this. I went to the other house because everyone realized I was in a fucked up emotional condition. So I was like, do didi ke ghar chal ja, udhar reh le thodi der and like try to cheer yourself up. So I went there, I stayed there one day, I didn't get a message back. Nothing, right? Felt bad, worse. Nothing could make me smile. Next day I get a message from Spencer that I'm qualified for the Iman interview. I wrote a thank you letter for Spencer, which I might put up, which is fucking gay. But I wrote that. So I wrote it out. Hand say. Huh.
You sent him a photo?
Yep.
Okay.
I was a little G back then.
Yeah.
It's gay, but...
I would not do that, but yeah.
Bro, but it meant a lot to me, but yeah.
You gotta be corporate and have distance. I've realized that.
Depends. I want to be anti-corporate. Like, the thing I was running from when I went to college, didn't go to college actually, was like being corporate, working in a fucking cubicle. So, yeah, I do realize I do have to like play into a corporacy, like these corporates sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I think it's good for a reason. There's a reason why it exists. And there are a lot of advantages to keeping your distance from people you work with in a way.
I've realized that too. Yeah. I think I agree, yeah.
Go on.
But, yeah. So, basically that happened. I got the interview with Iman. He green-lighted me. And
how was the interview with Iman? You can't just skip over that and he like green-lighted me. No, he was shitting bricks, no?
Guessing there.
yeah.
So, that happened and let's just skip to Iman's interview. I was happy and like...
Yeah, okay.
Interview. But uske pehle bhi
thoda sa... I don't want to know. Tell me about the interview.
No. That was important part.
Okay.
So, what happened was... Iman basically sent me a link ki matlab, hey, like you can book a call here. And it was, I think, the middle of the month. So I could book 8-10 days tak. So I was nerding this shit out. I was like, how to win an interview. Watched all the fucking YouTube videos. I probably have notes from like how to win an interview. All YouTube videos, I watched them, okay? Probably why I got it.
I think I've done that too. Not all, I probably watched how to pass an interview video or something like that.
Have you watched the Dan Locke ones?
I don't remember that much.
Yeah, Vomota, like, he's kind of good at it. But, yeah, so that happened. And I watched all the interviews. I was nerding the shit out of it. And Spencer gave me a task for a video editing job. So now this was a video editing job. And this is the crazy part, like, that I want to talk about. I got a video editing job at one of the best companies in the world while I learned video editing right then and there. Like, literally there.
Mm-hmm.
I made it up as I went. It took me one day to learn how to edit a video, which I don't understand how video editors like, oh, I can't do this. I had a phone. I didn't edit on my laptop because I had Premiere on it and I had to pay. So, no Premiere. And so, I got CapCut and I started editing videos like the sample that Spencer asked for. It was kind of crappy, but I got in because I had a lot of other TikTok knowledge. So, my application was really good. So, I learned video editing then. Then in this, what I did was I read about psychology a little in that small phase. And there was one thing called recency bias. So, the latest thing that you hear or that you take as input, you remember that most and that has the most amount of impact on you. Because basically the other things you forget. And does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Anyone that doesn't know, you can just Google recency bias. So we have a recency bias, all of the humans. So what I did was I booked the last slot for the interview. Absolute last. No one could book after me. Either it was going to be the first interview or it was going to be the last interview because either I set the standard or I just, you know, be better than the rest of them.
Was that Calendly just for hiring?
Probably. I don't remember.
It probably wasn't.
Could be.
Yeah. And another thing is that if... people have interviews, right? And if I interview a guy I really like, you know, even first, then in my mind, I've sort of already made the decision that, hey, I already have a great hire, number one. I'm just going to go through these other interviews. Do you never think about that? We do that.
Right. But it worked out for me.
Fair enough. Go on.
I think, yeah, I'll go over the interview right after this. But basically, I booked the last interview. And what I did was, my thinking, this is the exact thought process I have. And I remember this to a T because I've written this down on a doc that I can not share. I might share it. It's exactly like you'll see it. It was edited June last year or like last of last year probably when I was writing it. And I was writing everything down, like the step-by-step process because I kind of knew I'd get the job. So what happened was the thought process was that now everyone that's getting in the interview, they have the chops, right? They know how to edit videos. They know TikTok because Iman is not going to spend the time, his time with like random people that don't have the chops. So everyone has a skill. Now I need to stand out in like a personality way. I need to connect more. I need to like know more about him and basically raise him up in a way. So that's what I was focused on more and also already doing the job. So I made like 13 videos. I came up with video ideas. And I went through all of his shorts and then I clipped shorts already. And then I made an entire Notion doc. And then I wrote the captions out, which I realize now that they're not much worth, but I still like nerded the captions out, the exact words that, you know, were going viral at the time. And I made all of those fucking posts, and I hopped on an interview with Iman with like an advantage that I've went through his videos, I've made videos for him, and like how could you not be best
prepared, and no fucking way anyone else is doing that.
Exactly.
Like, I feel like that's because I'm in a position now where I'm literally hiring for a role and I'm paying more than what Iman did back then. So yeah, he was paying $1.5 grand. $1.5 grand was the offer, no?
At the start, but
yeah, like, at the start. Obviously, later he ended up paying more, but that's what he was hiring for. The offer was $1.5 grand.
No, it was actually lesser, but I'll go.
It was lesser.
I'll go.
Yeah, but right now when I'm hiring for a role and we have a budget of 1 to 3K. Right now, when I'm looking at the applicants, I feel like if someone just put in that effort itself, I'd be like, yeah, even though he doesn't know, he's already, wants it. He's putting in the effort, but so few applicants do that.
Like, I don't know how you can like apply for a job and not get it.
If you want a job, just fucking work.
Exactly. Work itna before the job that they like have a higher standard expect you to do even more. Like,
yeah,
imagine
impress a person by being so prepared, way more prepared than the others. I have one guy who DM me and he was like, bro, I'll pay you. I'm applying for the GYA role. Please help me out to get it. Like, bro, first of all, I don't want your money. Second of all, it's very easy to get a job if you just use your brain. And once you've been on the other end of the hiring, then you'll know how easy it is.
It's actually, yeah, to stand out, it's fucking easy.
Yeah.
So, like,
let's give them quick tips to stand out.
To just do more work. So whatever the employer is asking you to do, just do it already beforehand. Mm-hmm. So let's just say they're asking, your job will be to build a strategy out with them for their content plan. You already have all the information you need. You have the YouTube, you have the Instagram, you have already what they're posting, and you get an idea of what standard they are at. So take that and build a strategy out like you're already in the company. Act as a part. Like, even the other gigs that I've gotten working with like some other companies that I won't name, I've done exactly that. Like, just been a part of the company without even being inside. And like, it's a fucking no-brainer. Why would they not get me?
And another thing that if you want to stand out, people ask you for your cover letter or a resume, right? Sure, build a resume. But then inside the resume, have a big section and a thumbnail of a video. Once a person recognizes your face and your voice, it's way different from text. Because then you become a real human to them. And please get good at recording on camera. It's an invaluable skill. And at the start, you are going to be conscious. You won't know what to say. You're going to act like you're not yourself. You're going to stutter and it's going to be shit your first few videos. But once you're able to be natural on camera, that's when a whole new world of doors open up. You can start a podcast. And let's say someday, right, you're a successful businessman, but you don't know how to be, you know, good on camera. And let's say you get invited to a really good podcast. What then? How are you going to improve your public speaking as well? What if you want to give a speech and somehow you worked your way up and you have 100 employees? The other day, I had a team meeting and there were like, 12, 15 people. I think I pulled it off fine. Like, I didn't show anything. But inside, I was like, shit, there's like fucking 15 people on here.
15 people.
That still happens to me, you know. But I'm still a lot more comfortable than what I would be like 8 months back. Because people scare the shit out of me.
Bro, us.
Yeah, so
there was just like a tangent on what you said. There was a Mr. Beast video. The reason Mr. Beast has other influences in his videos, like he does these crazy giveaways, right? A fucking plane, a jet or something like that. He could give that out to like normal people, but he doesn't. The reason being, they don't know how to act on camera. That's literally the reason.
That's so good. That's a good catch.
No, that's literally the only reason. If they knew how to act on camera, these influencers won't be there. They don't know how to behave. They're just like, eh.
Yeah, like, get good on camera so that you can even get a job. Because just being good on camera is enough to get you a job you don't know shit about. So, yeah. Back to the interview.
Yeah, so I was super prepared for the interview. And the time I got to the interview, I didn't know how to screen record on my laptop. So at the time, I didn't have the laptop to record.
Why We took a little break. Just know that. There must be a difference in tone.
Hmm.
And energy and camera angle and everything.
Yeah.
So we just took a little bit of a break and we're back. We're talking about you were very prepared for the interview, but you did not screen share.
Yeah, so not screen share, screen record. So screen record, just got the laptop. So I didn't know how to use apps like Loom or OBS to screen record. So I had to do the meeting on my phone so I can record it. Right. So I'll put like a screenshot of the recording up. And basically I was waiting on the meeting and like it was time for the meeting now. Yeah, so I was in the waiting room and the waiting loader was loading. And I was basically dying inside. I was having like a very high heartbeat rate. So that was happening. That happened. I waited for like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. He didn't show up. I was like, fuck, man. He's not going to come. He's not going to come.
Mm.
And like after 6-7 minutes, he came on call. And he was like in his full YouTube matlab recording wala studio. But the lights were like normal and he was sitting like this. Like,
did he say sorry for being late or something?
No, he was like sitting like this. Yeah, he was sorry. He said sorry for being late. And at the time, I watched like, I ran through all of his videos basically. So what he used to do, there was, if someone was late on the meeting, not on time, they had to like pay $50.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I knew that. So I was like, you owe me $50 now. He was like, why? And then I explained that in the meeting, he said, he had a rule. And he basically told me that he doesn't have the rule anymore because he has like too many meetings now. So he keeps losing money. He probably has that rule, but he didn't want to give $50 to a random.
No, meeting. I don't think that was it.
Huh?
It must have been, he must have broke that rule, like, you know, stopped that rule.
Yeah.
$50, I don't think he would have cared. But I think he admired your research at that point. It was like, damn, yeah, okay. He was like, why?
Yeah.
Even he forgot.
Yeah, क्या हो गया? क्यों बोल रहा है? कि $50 मांग रहा है. इसको नहीं करूँगा.
Ah, good.
Yeah, good.
good.
Thanks.
Now,
let's hope I get the job. So,
yeah. I hope.
Yeah. So I basically did that, and I'm smiling too much. And yeah, so basically, I was on the interview, and he asked me a bunch of questions like, why do you do this, and tell me about you. Why are you the best fit for this job? And what also happened was he told me to do but yeah, he asked me questions like that and like what's your motivation, and I told him basically I had to tell him that, you know, I dropped out of college and you know
bro, if you are a college dropout and you're
it's a hack.
Interviewer is also a college dropout, right? Like the founder of the company. Boom.
Like
sparks hote
hain,
chamakta hai,
wohi to. It's crazy. Even
and
like,
bro, so many founders are actually dropout, like coincidentally.
You remember Cohn?
Yeah. I was thinking of him only.
Exactly. Why fucking insane? So like, I told him I'm a dropout and that I vividly remember this phrase. I have a chip on my shoulder. Do you know what that means?
No.
Like basically you have to prove people wrong. I told him like about how I dropped out and like I have to get out of like this. Like, yeah, I went into detail.
So you told him your whole life story?
Not whole, but
like family story?
No.
Then?
Basically I dropped out and then I have to like, I'm going against the grain and something like that. Didn't go into too much detail, but it was a little detail. So we talked about that stuff. And then he told me, okay, internet speed ke bare mein. Ki matlab, what's your internet speed? I was like, okay, let's check. Then he was guiding me. I didn't know how to check internet speed at the time. So I had to
That's
like,
bad, bro. That's like internet 101. Like the first thing people do is like click on the Google test. First thing that comes up is like Ookla or fast.com.
Yeah, exactly. That's what he told me to do. And that was fine. So I had to join Zoom from my laptop. And then what I did.
So wait, how were you talking earlier?
Phone.
Like a phone call?
Phone Zoom.
You mean, oh, and you told him you're on the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And like from the background, he could tell like that I'm poor. I'll tell you why. I can confirm that. So after I joined on my laptop and then I showed him the internet. Oh, we were having some connection issues, but when I showed him the internet, it was like pretty smooth. Like, bahut sexy.
Bhagwan ne bacha liya.
No, it was like the Wi-Fi that I had was good, but for some reason, Zoom meetings pe wahan pe problem ho raha tha. So yeah, basically he saw that and he was like, nice. Also, when he asked for the internet test, I was like, oh, you're doing this because I'm Indian or something like that.
Really?
Yeah, as a joke.
That's like a dark joke.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of people, like the corporate guys would be like, oh, how dare you?
But he basically said that, no, I do this with everyone. And he goes,
obviously,
like,
he would say that.
No, he probably does.
He probably does, yeah. But there's no other response.
So we basically went through the entire interview and it was nice. And he seemed like a real human being, literally a human being. When he came on the meeting, after 5 minutes, my nerves were so calmed down because I thought, so whenever you see someone online, you build this picture of them and you think they're really arrogant, especially if they're exceptionally successful or everything. But when you meet them in person, it's like nothing like that. And I've had a lot of people report to me the exact same feeling. Like, I had one dude that met Andrew Tate, and he was talking about the experience when he met Andrew Tate. Like, I'll name him later off podcast. Basically, he told me, like, he thought Andrew is not gonna, like, you know, he's probably too reserved or everything.
My day
like
too.
Exactly. But when they met, it was like a normal human interaction and they felt that he was human.
Who would have guessed, bro?
Exactly.
The people behind the cameras are human.
Fuck.
That's crazy. What type of questions did he ask you? Like in the interview, what type of questions did Iman ask?
It was pretty basic. He tried to go deep into why I was trying to do this because like he only interviewed the first like 5 people. After that, Spencer handled all the interviews. So he wanted to keep the company culture tight. So I'm pretty sure one of the reasons I got in and I had like a very strong chance is because I dropped out, because I vividly remember him saying on one of the meetings that we have 2, 3 or like X number of college dropouts in our company now. So he took pride in that and I knew that. So I basically played into it and he was trying to dig deep into why I'm trying to do this. And oh, at the end, there was like, so I was expecting a certain amount of money when I was going to the interview, right? Obviously, because the responsibilities and the company was big. It was making money at the time, big for the time. And so I expected a certain amount of salary, let's just say 1.5 grand. But he basically when we were talking about salary, he was like, let's start with $750 for the first month. And we'll see, like, we'll assess your performance and aisa kuch, and we'll increase it next month based on your performance. So I literally told him that, oh, this is not what I was expecting. I believe this is way lesser than what I should be getting paid. But I don't mind proving myself after coming in and, like, you know, have my pay go up from there. So I started with a $750 increase. And the crazy thing that happened was, there were 5, 6 people already hired and they were from, like, they were richer. So they didn't need the money, basically. So, and it was a lot of work starting out because we were all, like, 3 videos a day when you start making it, it's really difficult for you. Like, you have to put in fucking time. It's a lot of hours because you have to pick the clips. You have to, like, edit them. It's a lot of fucking hours. So we had 2, 3 people edit for like for the first 2 days and they left after that.
Why?
They literally stopped editing. They probably thought it was too less money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
they would just quit because it's $750 a month at that time and it was just not worth it for them.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's so fucking stupid.
And they didn't look at the upside of actually working with Iman at that time?
Nope.
Okay.
I think that's I thought that was genuinely stupid as well. But what happened after that was Spencer, I'll put up the screenshot. Spencer sent me a message saying he loves my work ethic and everything. And that's why my pay is being bumped up to 1.5 grand. It was not my work ethic. I was like at the company for like 5, 6 days. The people that left, I probably remember their names too. So the people that left, that made the company realize that, okay, this is too less. If we want people to stay, they have to be from third world countries and we have to pay them like a fixed base amount. So whenever they talk about pay, they like kuch problem now inside, you know that, right? So that's basically how I doubled my salary without literally doing anything. And yeah, we went on from there. And the first month I was there, That was the only month I was alone. After that, you were there. So I wonder...
Really? I came in on the second month?
Yeah, pretty much.
It's fucking crazy. Okay.
Yeah, so... I want you to go into how you got into GYA and like your side of the story. Mm-hmm. How you got in. How was the interview for you and the experience? And it was special because it happened right after your birthday. I know Auntie, your mom, told me like a few stories of how she was very happy when you got the job. So I'm pretty curious.
So first of all, did you call me right after you got the job?
Obviously. You were like, after I was getting my first payment, we were together and you were like, I want to see you get your first payment as well. Do you remember that?
I don't, bro, have a memory of a goldfish.
Bro,
I remember us definitely be on call and be like, I was like, let's go, something like that.
Yeah, yeah, you were like, I want to see you get your first money. And we were talking about...
It wasn't first money, to clarify, but it was like, the first, yeah, like, salary, you know, like, consistent monthly income that we never had.
Exactly, like, one... We made $2,000 and it was like a one-time thing and we made that after fucking a year of work or something like that.
Yeah.
So, we were basically making minimum wage with our theme pages.
No, bro. Minimum wage in India is worse. Definitely.
If we cut it up into months.
If we cut it up into working hours, maybe.
Yeah, because, bhai, TikTok se, and we had to scroll a lot because we were using all the posts.
Yeah, bro, that makes me ashamed. Don't tell, we literally, our work was to scroll earlier. But anyways, yeah, help us learn the algorithm.
But, yeah.
And then, so then, you know, you called me and I got to know that, you know, holy shit, we can get a monthly pay and, you know, you're just 1 year older than me. So that's crazy. I'm like, so someone would hire a kid who is 18 years old, or no, 19 years old, and has dropped out of college with no expertise apart from social media, and they get hired. So I'm like, wow, I like, this would be awesome for me too. And to give context into why it would be awesome is because my family had like 5 months of runway left.
Yeah. Even without that, it'd be awesome.
Yeah, even without that, it would be awesome.
But it made it more awesome.
Exaggerates on the need. Yeah. Like, yeah, we fucking need that job, right? Like, I need some money coming in because my parents, they weren't earning much.
They were earning?
No.
Surprise.
And so, yeah, they weren't earning. And it looked like my mom had to get a job, but luckily we never got to that. And even then, bro, like, we spent like degenerates here. Like, our monthly just normal burn rate, like, our spend itself is like someone else's 6 months of spend for some reason.
Bro, when the rents are...
It's not even about the rent. It's just that, okay, we live good and that's just how we live, right? So that's like my base.
Even the rents, I would say, like, it's ridiculously high for a society just with lights.
No, bro, I lived in Bandra, so rent ka baat mat kar, I'm happy with this rent.
Bro, for me, like, I coming from Kolkata, I'd never had power outages and pani hamesha hota tha. Aur yahan pe lag raha hai gaon mein aa gaya ho, lekin thoda posh hai. Pakki sadke hai.
Ha, but okay. Then, you know, that realization hit hard that, okay, yeah, fuck, there's a way out, right? And instead of just doing theme pages, trying dropshipping and all of that, which was, I was in that sort of cycle, I'm like, okay, I can potentially get a remote job. And my only way of knowing how to get that was you. Like, how the fuck did you manage, right?
Bro, yeah.
So just tell me everything. And then...
Literally the dream, and it happened by working together.
Yeah, same, and then we never did for good reasons. But so then, you know, that was... And then I asked you how you ended up doing that. And then you kept referring me to Spencer, who was the hiring manager as well as like the project manager. So,
I probably have screenshots that I can put up.
Yeah. So you kept referring me. So eventually, the next time that there was a job post, I believe it was for a video editor, I applied, but there was no response.
You know why that was?
Why?
So the first video editing firm that they had, it was... Spencer already had a pipeline of editors from that, but Iman already stole it also. So... Spencer was, you know, Gautam, right? Gautam, obviously you do. So he was one of the guys in the pipeline. And the first time Spencer had an interview with him, I believe he didn't like pass the mark from, I don't know, Spencer. But he told him the next time we have a job opening, like, you'll get it. So video editors like that were hired in like the second round for video editing. But right after that, there was another
position, I believe. Like, he kept putting stories during that time, Iman. And then I applied for the second time. Kuch nahi hua.
Second time?
Haan, second time bhi kuch nahi hua.
Second time hi to kuch hua tha.
Nahi, it was the third time's the charm.
Oh,
Second time was for more video editors, I believe, something like that. I edited even a sample. I believe they made everyone do a sample.
Bro, I remember captions.
Like, we were making that video together and
emojis.
Emojis,
bro. We should probably pull that up.
Fuck, bro, I remember that shit. And then after that, there was a third job post, but this was for account managers. That's that third time's the charm, right? So then I had to record a Loom video, I believe, introducing myself.
Yep.
Or maybe that wasn't a requirement, but I just did it anyway.
It was a requirement. It was optional, but I did it and I showed you mine.
Yeah.
You're like, I have to make one.
Obviously. So I made one and it was really bad. Now that I look back at it,
yeah,
it was so bad that now I feel like I could get any job if I was to record now.
I mean, yeah,
I want to get
that
a job.
Skilled up.
Yeah, so then third time is the charm. I spoke about my experience and then I got selected for the interview. I believe I was in school when I actually got that. So I was in 12th grade.
Nice. Like, when you got the message, do you remember the exact moment where you were?
I don't remember the exact moment, but I feel like I saw it after like lunch break or something like that in school. So I'm like, brokies.
Was it? I think it was your house and you told your mom.
Either that or I was in school and I was just thinking to myself, or maybe it was the acceptance one that was in school. I don't remember.
Probably.
But I was like in school and I felt like always had a superiority complex that has now improved.
Ab
but back then,
job hai.
Huge.
Job hai bhai pe.
Job nahi chahiye mujhe abhi.
Matlab pehle.
Haan, pehle to job hai. And bro, I swear, like half the people knew Iman, so was, and they didn't know any of this that I was applying all that. So that was good. But because they were rich kids. Like, my school was really fucking high-end for no reason.
I know.
So, all the kids, they wouldn't even care about applying for a job.
One small thing that the people should know. Like, I went into your school and I thought it was a fucking resort, bro.
It's not.
Wahan ghode daud rahe hain. Yahan itna bada maidan hai.
Yeah, I know. I don't even want to mention the school. Free publicity ho jayega.
Nahi, nahi, naam not lena.
Bilkul nahi lenge. Haan, so that happened. And then, interview ke liye. I was like, bro, tell me what to do.
Bro
batara kyun nahi hai? How did you pass?
you were suited up for the interview.
Bro, you told me. I literally asked you, should I wear a shirt or should I wear a t-shirt?
And we ended up on suit somehow?
Yeah.
What the fuck? But like, I remember texting Spencer this.
Yeah.
You matlab,
so now Spencer was the one who was like the interviewer, not Iman.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I remember texting him extra points for suit. Ha ha ha! And he was like, ha ha, yes.
Ha, ha, yeah. Yeah, the suit worked. But right now, if I was going for a job, I'd just wear one of those collar shirts. Not a shirt. It's like those t-shirts, like jo Zara mein milte hain. That with those collar and normal plain, not full sleeve. Or full sleeve is also fine,
yeah,
but not too formal. And I wouldn't wear a t-shirt either.
I'd go naked.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. But if, bro, people ask me for interview tips all the time.
No,
it's
no,
like,
I was kidding.
For you guys, don't wear a t-shirt, don't wear a suit. Wear one of those collared shirts. Look classy. Ghadi pehen le, kaafi hai. Theek hai? So, interview, I was shitting my pants. I was definitely more nervous because I have more anxiety.
We were on call right before, bro.
I was warming up socially. I'm like, bro, chal baat karte hai. We were talking for like half an hour. We're like, yeah, bro, come on, I got this. So, it's like that. It was very gay now that I look back at it.
Bro, it's
it was needed. It was
yeah,
good for development. But now, would I do that? Bro, I'd be like, interview. I'm not too, I don't see myself getting in an interview right now. But like, okay, interview. What's up, dog?
Exactly.
I'm not gonna say that, but that's what happened. Interview, I guess he just asked a few basic questions. It wasn't deep like that. It's not Google where they ask you how do you code or something like that. You say
small memory, you were watching First Man interview tips.
Bro, I was solid video.
Go on.
First Man interview tips, dekh lo. Is it fucking recording? Yeah, it is. First Man interview tips, great fucking video.
I remember you're like, bro, I learned all the interview tips. And basically what I started doing in the interview was I started asking him questions.
Yeah,
I remember this shit.
Yeah.
And I asked him like, what would I do, what would my exact responsibilities be, how many hours would this take?
Yeah. Oh, I remember one psychological trick I was trying, which was like, I started speaking as if we already started. So it's more of a V. Okay, so So we'll be editing 3 videos a day, right? It's like, okay, I'm already in, so I don't know if that shit works or not.
It did.
I mean, whatever.
It did.
So done. Then, like a few days after, email aa jata hai. Congrats, you've been selected.
Of course.
And that was right after my birthday. Like I believe one day after my 18th birthday. And bus maza aaya.
Bro, I wanted to be there for the 18th birthday. You know why I didn't come?
Why, bro?
I didn't have money. Yeah.
Bro, I couldn't even pay for you.
Bro, at the time, I had never been on flights.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's no fucking way I'm spending 20k on just like traveling. And now I just how times have changed.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
So maza aa gaya. Interview ho gaya. Job mil gaya. Let's go. Then for the next few months, we gave it our all, I believe.
Yep.
We tried everything. And then, bro, because I was in school, like after 15 days, I started hiring.
Yeah.
Like I did not want to do this shit alone.
Also, bro, I remember like you were in a lot of stress. You mean like school. I fucking could.
Yeah, I was in school. So it was heavy on me.
Exactly. Plus you had to pass. Nah. It's not like you can fail.
Mm.
Like I'd be fine with failing. Somehow, but like, I remember you being a lot, matlab stress mein, ki, oh, I have to do these videos and then I have to go to school. So you were low on sleep at times. And sometimes.
Low on sleep? No, bro, I had multiple all-nighters. Soya hi nahi hu. Just to do the work. And the work that time was very routine and mundane. So it was easily, right now I would delegate that in less than a day. Back then it took me probably like, 7 days to delegate.
Network, nah. Now you.
Yeah, could just it's not just about network. Like, it's also about knowing how to build SOPs. Back then, it's like we didn't even have SOPs. We had in-person training. My first hire, I don't want to talk about it, but it was extremely bad. Oh, it was not a good hire.
The firing was also so beautiful.
Firing was beautiful. I agree, but my first hire was, you know, it was tremendous, and so it was a in real life person. And he used to come to my house, literally work on my PC to do the shit that, you know, I literally work on my PC. And I had to teach him because he didn't know how to use a computer. So I was teaching him shit. That's and I was still paying him 50k a month.
Bro, exactly. The thing is, you paid him 50k a month for a job he'd happily do for 20k. Happily.
Yeah. But I had no management skills, no.
Yeah.
So if he wants more money, I'm like, okay. So yeah, I always had it in me to delegate quick. Otherwise, I would basically die and that job would achhe se nahi hota.
Also, it's illegal to delegate that.
Yeah. I didn't even have that logic back then. That, oh, I'm working a job, so I can't delegate. I didn't even have that logic. Like for me, it was so natural to just delegate. I didn't think of it.
I had that. Oh, this is something I should be doing, but there's no reason for me to do it. Like, why would I do it? I can get someone for whatever, sounds gay, but like 20%, 30% of what I'm making, and they'd be making their first money. Also, it was valid to pay them a little less because we were building them up.
No, for sure. It's totally okay to pay someone 20-30k INR and then have them do the stuff that we need to get done.
I mean, yeah. Also, we were spending a lot of time on them. Like,
Yeah, genuinely. So, we had daily.
Yeah.
So, at one point, so then after my first hire, it was a nightmare, but 2-3 months passed. And, you know, the work was being done. And I guess, like, my midterm exams or whatever, they were over. So, I had slightly more time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I essentially fired him in real life. Yeah, that happened.
Explain. Go on.
It was a little dramatic. Okay. But basically, one day he said that he needs to go. I told him, no, you can't go, complete the work. And he decided to go anyway. So I'm like, okay, don't come back. Or I essentially just fired him on the spot. I'm like, okay, cool. Get lost.
Yeah.
And then he came like crying back like around 50 times probably.
50?
Yeah, 50 times. Didn't 50 grand, 50. Bro, it was so messy. Like, you should always try to hire people with experience. And, you know, so got my first hiring lesson early on.
Hire people with the jobs.
Then we continued and delegated all our stuff, essentially. And we were taking daily team meetings. And we had a team of like 2-3 people. There were people who were handling the edits. And then for a long part, I was handling my work. I started handling it myself again in between because there was no one else who I knew could do it.
In between, we had to, around November, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was essentially just the job.
Bro,
and then,
off for me as well. Like,
why?
Say we, because we were doing the same shit.
Yeah.
The same me as well.
Yeah, so we were essentially running the same agency at this point, and we called it Total Growth.
Yep.
And
oh, fuck, we lost the domain.
Yeah, we lost the domain probably. But we were handling that together, and it was good for a bit. We had daily team meetings, and things were great. But then in November, I believe we had to step it up because there was like going to be people let go on. So we wanted to make sure, you know, we weren't let go. And then the pay also increased, and I literally pushed to get more work. You remember the page Iman's Wisdom?
Yeah.
So I proposed an entirely new idea to Spencer. Spencer proposed the new idea to Iman, and he approved it. He just told, be careful, you know, managing your other responsibilities as well. And then I literally like fought almost like to work my way up to 5K a month.
I agree.
I think I was the person who was getting paid the most in...
You were.
Yeah. So I was... I think I was earning 5.3K. 5.25.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, I mean, it wasn't fun to work there.
At all, bro. It was boring as fuck, but it paid well for the time.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, bro, I was like 18 and I was earning like 4 lakhs a month. A little more. And I was happy. And... most of that money was definitely going back though. So like there was a bit of employee payroll, very less, like probably like 50K a month of employee payroll, and the rest was going back to the house, to run the house for me. And that was the start of the remote job. And you key takeaway here is to push. I made my own roll up.
Yeah,
for
exactly.
Additional pay. Yeah. So, like, I found a gap, made a concrete case, boom, more money.
You were like a month ahead. Basically, everyone got more responsibilities, but that's when they had to.
Yeah.
But you kind of pushed Iman's Wisdom, and then you got more responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone else, like, basically, oh, people can do more. So people were getting more. So, yeah. Also, I think the management wala part, it was so much easier than the video editing wala part.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 1,000 times easier.
1,000 times
was
easier,
the same,
yeah.
Which is... fucking insane. Like, I remember you got the account management job and it was so less work, and I was fucking
no manually. It was a lot of work, it was a lot of heavy lifting, but the work itself was very easy
at the start. I think in terms of time taken
basically. Yeah, it would be less,
way less, bro.
But still, it was like so boring that you need a sleep.
It was boring,
yeah. And that was that. And I also want to talk about how one time there was a new opening for someone who manages all the folders and the drive. So there was an opening and I applied for that as well, even though I was already working and my pay was like, you know, double. And I still applied for a new role that Spencer had put out. And obviously he knew. I'm like, oh, by the way, can I try this out as well? And I guess he just respected the hustle. So he's like, sure, I'll take
it.
Did
you do that?
Yeah. So I did the test as well. For the drive management role and like the clipping guy. So you go into Iman's old videos and you
that
clip
was
shit up.
Some Italian,
for
I believe.
Yeah, so he, before that, it was a job application actually.
Yeah. So
I applied as well.
I did not.
Yeah, I applied as well. I'm like, chalo ye bhi le lenge, additional responsibility.
Eventually, I was doing that. Like,
after a long time. So that was that. And then let's talk about the exit now. So I'll talk about my story of why I ended up leaving.
Mm.
So Total Growth was the agency technically, because we had hired people who were handling Iman, and we started treating this as more of an agency because we had that dog in us. We wanted to earn more. 4 lakhs a month wasn't enough for my ambitious 18-year-old self. I love consistent income, MRR, but
it has to keep growing. Like, we felt stagnated, and also the company was... we weren't growing as people as well, nah.
Yeah.
The pay was stagnated, and we were learning, we were growing, getting better skills, but like the work was the same every single day, and it got to a point where we were not even doing it. So the company made less and less sense, and staying there just for the money, like,
doesn't make sense. And it wasn't fun, and the culture, right, was good in all the other departments. In ours, it was like we could get fired at any moment.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of people getting fired.
we were treated differently because like it was a lower skill job. So when I applied as well, I remember on the interview, Iman saying that this is a commodity, so like anyone can do it. And basically he's rational about it. Okay, like anyone can do it. And he's right. The job at the start was it was pretty easy. Like you didn't require a lot of skills.
Yeah.
Basically, you could be starting out and you could do the job and you could do it pretty well. So that's why that department was kind of segregated from the entire company. Like we had our own different like channels where we were like separated from the entire company and all, which I didn't like at all.
I feel like it was mishandled, and even there were so many management changes. Like, so Spencer, he left because, you know, I guess his job there was to build out the team and the management essentially. And then Spencer went on to create his own agency and replicate this model. I believe so. Then there was also management changes, and then Spencer left, and then someone else came in and he started running the thing. And at that point, it was a mess again, because there was a lot of expectations that were previously built that, oh, we can work with others, right?
Yeah.
And that was open. That was very openly discussed with Spencer. Now with the new person who came in to manage everything, suddenly that was not okay. And everyone shut up about the other clients they were working
exactly.
with.
Exactly. On meetings, I remember everyone was talking about, oh, I remember one certain guy literally mentioning, it's a happy day, it's a happy week for me because I closed another client.
Yeah.
And this was on the cocktail calls. Everyone was celebrating that literally.
Yeah.
And just like a month after that, everything switched up suddenly.
Suddenly we can't work with anyone else. Suddenly we're all full-time employees without any benefits or security. Like, what the fuck?
Exactly. The security part, like there were so, all of our friends, they were like out and like.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the reason we can even talk about all of this is because we both have not signed the NDAs.
Exactly. They made everyone sign NDAs
right after I left, like one day after, I believe one or two days after.
Yeah, exactly.
Boom, NDA sign karo sir.
You know, let's go more into it. Aditya,
I don't want to talk negatively about the company as well, but it was a good experience for me.
A lot, bro.
It's probably a good company, but it's not a good department.
It was probably really important for us because it set us up
yeah,
for life.
Yeah. I'm grateful to Iman.
Yeah.
Like, I want to get that straight. And even on the every single call that he joined, he gave a lot of knowledge.
Wisdom.
Yeah. He taught how to manage, but I believe he wasn't very involved, which is why it was a shit show. If he gave it maybe like two more hours in a month, we'd be fine. But yeah.
But I think the department is running like pretty well in terms of results.
Results, yeah. Results have been good. So
yeah.
The management has been good. HR maybe could use a little work. But it's fine. I get it, right? Ultimately, this was a commodity role. And moving on to the exit, unless you have something you were saying.
No, go on.
Moving on to the exit. I used to follow myself from those pages, right? From Iman's side pages.
Yeah.
And I got an inbound lead from one of those pages, right? Because I was following myself. I don't want to say the name.
Okay.
So I got an inbound lead, and this dude was a successful info product person in the medicine niche.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the other guy.
No, so it was in the medicine niche, and he was an inbound lead, and I had my first sales call, but I don't know how to sell for shit. So I was like, hey, what's up, bro?
Yeah.
I was very informal.
Was
no idea about sales, no onboarding, no nothing. And then had a call. A month later, he came back. He's like, okay, let's do this. How can we get started? I didn't have any pricing. He just texted on WhatsApp back and forth.
Probably just came up with something random.
Or random. I was like, okay, you want this? Okay, cool. I was shit scared to say 2K. Then that 2K, so I got the first client, then agency sort of, you know, paid my team better, and they were also getting more work and stuff was going well. But at this point, we were still in the micromanagement stage, and we used to have like team meetings every single day. Next up, what happened, I believe, was I met Yakeel. So
yeah.
this was another inbound lead that came from one of these pages, messaged me on my personal, hey, I know that you work with Iman, let's hop on a call. And bro, at this point, I don't feel like I would have responded to that message. But back then, looking for any opportunity.
Yeah.
So I networked with this dude. He's an awesome person. He's from the LA, and we speak, we vibe, we become friends.
What culture is he?
Yeah, I think he's Jewish.
Jewish. He's rich, basically.
I guess. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Most Jewish people, they tend to be rich. But my boy, he's a little bit of a brokey. But he's getting what? There, bro. He's getting there. I'm proud of him right now. He's working in some Wolf of Wall Street shit right now.
What does he do now?
He's working in like a bank with his Jewish homie. That's bro, I love the Jewish. Bro. Like, they're like that, you know?
They make their own money, basically. Like, they're so
yeah, yeah, yeah. They have that community thing, bro. Yeah. One Jew gets rich, all of them get rich. And they give away like 20% of their money to Jewish charities, usually, or any charity. But I believe that's like a part of their religion. So, which is why, like, even the poor, the really rich, they give away 20% of their money. Circulates, they do their own. I'm probably talking shit, but I think that's what happens.
Yeah.
Great guy. And so I become friends with him. And then he starts working with a Jewish company. And they want social media content.
Hmm.
Who does he come to? My boy. I mean me. His boy. His boy.
My boy.
His boy. And then I closed like another 2K. And then he got another guy. And we were essentially white labeling at this point.
Yeah.
So 2K and then another 1.5K. And that was my first 10K profit month.
Bro, I remember you putting that story.
Yeah, up. Finally I made 10K a month. Bro, dream.
Probably yeah, like the caption was like blessed or something like that.
Bro, kuch toh aise hi hoga.
No, no, I remember the photos that it was like a mirror selfie essay.
Something that like that. So it was like that. And then I made 10K profit. Agency, total growth, made slightly more than what Iman was paying me. And then because of these new rules that, hey, you can't work with others and all of that, it started to weigh on my conscience. Right? And then at this point, I was also working with another dude who I found. His name is Arthur. He's my co-founder now in Atomic. And I was working with him as well. And his agency, called Atomic Growth, was working, it was doing really well. And I was also working there. And what ended up happening is that Arthur had to focus on other things as well.
Hmm.
So the clients in Atomic was stronger essentially, and it was just a lot better of an agency. Yeah. It had more structure than what
it
we did.
It was like a business.
It was a business, and then we merged. And then the moment we sort of merged, like total growth and non-bank growth, I quit working for Iman because that was like a requirement. Like, yeah, if we do this, you have to go full time. I'm like, yeah, probably should. And it's fair like, enough. Yeah, GY at that point, I didn't like it. So
there was nothing to like.
Yeah, then that's when I resigned.
That was really nice and probably one of the best decisions. And I want you to like speak more about how people should find more mentors, basically, because that's like a shortcut in life.
I don't know exactly how I would go around finding a mentor like that and how they would end up recognizing.
I guess we're like, skills. We're just less than all.
No, it's probably again, you can only connect the dots when you look backwards, right?
Yeah.
So now it makes a little bit of sense. But back then, it was probably because of our actions ultimately. But so he took on more of like a mentor role and taught me a lot about agency. And that's essentially how Atomic Growth is running today.
I still think like
it's a big skip. It's a big time skip between then and now. It's not like, are now Atomic Growth is running. No.
It's been like a year.
There's a lot that happened in this year. Yeah.
A year, right?
A year and 3 months. A year and a month or 3 months.
No, exactly a year, I believe.
No, more than that.
March, April. A year and a month.
Something like that.
Yeah.
And that's, so to go into more detail here is that Atomic at that time, a year ago, was already working with like one or two extremely good podcast clients, and as well as like a really good company, VC. And then from there, taken it in a year till where it is right now. And there was a lot of work to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's been quite a journey. And do you want to talk about how you've built the company up instead of like taking all the profits out, basically.
Yeah. So now another mistake that most agency owners make, they just take the profits and put in their savings account. Yeah. Like, chalo, paisa bana liya is maine. That's not how money works in general.
That's not how you build, basically.
You want to use your money, your free cash flow, to then put into systems that work for you to get you more money. That's essentially the essence of capitalism. You make calculated bets But some people, instead of making those calculated bets and betting on themselves of their ability to make the right decision to make more money, they put in their savings and they call it a day. That's something that I've never done with Atomic due to also how the structure of the company is.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to profit much. And I want the profits to go back into something.
Exactly.
If that's best, if that's better stuff, hiring the best people and really just doing everything of with quality in mind. And that's been the biggest game changer. Like, most agencies lack quality.
Yeah, and I don't think, like, I've seen many that are building. And I've, again, like, I'd shout Arthur out for this. Like, he's been in the business game for how long?
I don't know, many years. He's 27.
So, like, that makes a lot of sense. If, like, someone that was starting out the agency, they did it alone, I'm pretty sure they'd not start with the mindset.
No, I probably would have. You know how Total Growth was running, right? We were doing daily calls and systems were a mess. I didn't know what an SOP was. I learned a lot from there. And I feel like a proper agency now. It was almost like a crash course in 3 months. Now, boom.
Yeah.
So much knowledge. And from there, I was able to execute.
So shout out to, like, our boy, Arthur.
Because you have a lot of chance now.
Huh?
But yeah, yeah. It was like, you know, university, you pay them to teach you stuff and that stuff takes 4 years and you might not learn enough. Find yourself a mentor, pay them, or so like normally you would pay a mentor, right? You would pay someone for like their coaching or whatever, but this person, he doesn't want money. Like, he doesn't want hourly money. Like,
exactly.
That's not what a founder would settle for. So then we took on a role of obviously equity, right? So divide the equity and I'm getting paid and I'm learning.
That's the craziest shit ever. Like, this is better than university in so many ways. You're getting real, like, market action. Then you're getting paid for doing it. And then on top of that, you're also building other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's just crazy to me how, like, normal average students still go to universities and waste their time. I'd, like, highly recommend if you're bad at studies or even average, just drop out and start doing something else. Because
I wouldn't say that. I don't agree with you, but go on.
What would you think?
I think there's merit in going to college.
Everyone.
Not everyone. If you're doing a business degree, reconsider. Think of all your possible options. And for just do science, please. That's my advice for the business folks.
So what do you think college, who are the people that you think college would help?
I think it would help the people who want the ability to get dirty and change the world in terms of science. Like,
yeah, I do think engineers.
Yeah, like I want there to be more computer scientists.
Yeah. But people, if you're average at studies, like, you're not going to be shit anyways.
No. Mm. What you do in uni doesn't really relate to what you're doing in high school. Why does it relate?
It kind of does. Like, all the, like, think of the top CEOs. They're from, like, IIT Kharagpur and, like, the top fucking colleges in India, right?
Mm-hmm. But why are we only thinking of CEOs? Why are we not thinking of the CTOs? I mean, sure, they might be getting a little less paid than the founder, but they're equally valuable, if not more.
Not equally valuable. They'd be getting paid the same.
Well, we could have differing opinions here, but I feel like you could be a CTO and CEO, especially for businesses like SaaS. If we had the ability to, like, be a tech nerd, understand how shit works, maybe I would be building my hardware camera right now. That's been in my
exactly,
mind.
Exactly, nerd. And you have to be actually really good at it.
And interested.
Yeah, that's the point I'm getting at. Like, I don't want people that are like me. Like, I hated fucking school. I hated studies. And I was average with it. And I didn't study. So I'd say I was pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I was average, or like way below average at the point. But for the time I studied, I used to literally wake up 5 a.m. the day of the exam. And, like, study maybe for an hour and then go. So I vividly remember that I had an accounts exam and I didn't take tuitions because I was too introverted to actually go to tuitions. And basically they cost 700 rupees per month, which was kind of expensive. So I didn't take any tuition. And there were guys that were taking like classes throughout the entire year. There was one dude that failed and I just got the passing mark, which is insane. Like if you take classes, so I'm getting at those people. If you like that, please just drop out. Like there's, I genuinely don't think there's value. I think there's value when the college is either really expensive or the cutoff is really high. That's where you build the best networks. And other than that, like if you're going to a college that's cheap and has cheap people in it, you're going to like, yeah, that's a downward spiral, I believe. Because I know people that are from bad colleges and then you build bad networks. And like once you hang around people like that, you're kind of fucked.
Yeah, I used to think that way. But I have a feeling that, you know, I really value what you potentially could use your time, you know, at college for. Like there are, for example, I met with this dude the other day. He's building a SaaS that can essentially get the best clips from uploads and a bunch of other very cool features. So he went to NUS, National University of Singapore. And
isn't that good?
Yeah, it's a really good college for computer science. And that's what he, and he found his three other co-founders in NUS. And now that they graduated, they're all nerding it out. So they're all technical. And they're essentially creating a SaaS together. That is valuable.
So that's, they went to a good college, right? That's what I'm getting at. Like, if it's not a good college, you might as well not go.
I don't know. I don't know.
Would you go to like a bad college?
I wouldn't go to college.
But imagine if you were, if you had to go to college, would you go to a
bad college? I couldn't afford it.
Huh?
I couldn't afford it, no?
College?
Yeah.
Bro, my college, the one that I could afford is like 5K a year. So if I can, bro, come on. Come on.
Yeah, then no. I don't think so.
Exactly. Even if like, I think college may, the most important part is like you build networks or you hang around cool people basically. And the saying that you're like the average of the five people you hang around is pretty true. I mean, we have a dude living with us right now. He's starting from scratch. And I'm like, he just started living with us. And I'm pretty sure in like 3 months max, he'd be printing 1 lakh a month.
Printing? No, more.
I'm lowballing it. Yeah. We'll update.
Okay.
Yeah.
Update is on my broadcast list.
Oh, perfect.
Please join.
Please.
Tell them. You also have to request.
Please join.
Join Carlo. And if you made it so far into the episode, comment broadcast.
Comment join broadcast.
Comment broadcast bus.
Yeah.
Please do that. Like, I need to know if you're still watching. Bahut acha lagta hai, you know, when we see the comments.
Exactly.
Like, hot chocolate. I'm like, bro, they are still so far. What the fuck?
And there are, so compared to the views, there are not a lot.
Yeah.
But I read their names. I'm like, oh.
Well, yeah, and plus, bro, this podcast has been going on for a while. So if you made it literally till the very end, respect. Like,
respect.
It's fucking cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Where was I?
Shitty colleges. We don't want to. We're not going there.
Fuck that.
Yeah, let's fuck that. Topic. Yeah, and now to give you an opinion on what we would do, you know, if you were to start over, I feel like the agency is still the right choice. Yeah, for me, it was the natural path. But for you, the viewer, there might be other options. Like, number one, you could get a remote job. That's essentially how we started. Or actually started with Theme Pages, but that's history now. That's how we got the remote job. But if you can get your hands on a remote job that even pays you like more than like 50K INR, do that for a while. I feel like we are impatient and we're kind of crazy like that. Don't be us. Even though if you might aspire to be like us, even though you should have higher aspirations, if you do aspire to be like us, then even then, like, don't rush the way we do, because we've taken irrational risks that I look back at.
Yeah.
We have also taken especially some crazy risks.
Considering that our family is dependent on us.
Yeah. If your family's not dependent, do whatever, bro. I don't care. But if you are like me, then take more, calculate harder and think about the risk you're taking. And I also want you to get a remote job, and if it pays you like enough to float, do that for a while so that you can learn as much as possible. Option two, if you're a freelancer, work until demand exceeds what you're able to supply, and then hire someone, and now you're an agency.
Yeah.
And that's really how we started. That was ground zero. That was total growth. And then keep learning, and then get to a point where you can afford a coach. Don't come to me asking for coaching, because I'm not going to give you that. But there are great coaches. I hope there are some great agency coaches. I'm not saying courses, bro. Do not buy a course unless it's from me. But get a good coach. Get a job. You'll probably learn a lot. But anyways, this episode has been going on for a bit.
We'll end the podcast here.
Yeah.
And let me just give like a 2-minute thing on what I did after Iman, basically. So after Iman, I started working one-on-one with creators like Hamza, and I worked with Andrew as well. And the best, and I also like worked with other companies, but there are some that I don't want to name. But basically, I got to learn a lot of stuff, and it was kind of the same as having like a coach that was teaching me, because at Adonis School, when I was being the coach there, Hamza's brother Danish was being my mentor. And then every call, he basically the same, like Arthur gives you advice, he used to watch my stuff and he used to give me advice, which was invaluable. That made me an excellent manager, and eventually the roles that I started doing that helped me a lot with operations. Like I'm smooth with running operations, hiring and everything like that. So stacking skills up, that happened way easier for us because we basically had a coach. So yeah, I'm sleepy right now, so we won't go into details. So that was the podcast.
Yep, that's a wrap, guys. And we'll see you next week, hopefully.